This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Dystopical. Hi, Farine.
Good evening, Kat. And may I say, happy birthday.
Thank you.
So how old are you turning?
Turning 38.
And how do you feel about that?
I feel like I'm a real grown-up and I'm very mature now, and I'll be doing lots of responsible things over the coming year.
Yes, I'm sure you will.
Absolutely.
And I'll be there to witness all of those mature things that you will be doing this year.
Absolutely, and probably reporting back on them publicly, which is great. So tonight, guys, we are talking about stuff that lesbians like. Capitalising on that really quite hilarious book, Farine, I don't know if you found it that funny, but stuff white people like, we thought, we'd do our own version.
Which we've, pinched from the internet and other sources, including ourselves and our friends. But here we go.
Do you want to say a little bit about what we're going to be talking about?
Sure. So just to give you a highlight of the top 15 or 16 that we've got going, typical stuff that lesbians like you may like are things like soy, herbal tea, your dog, drama.
Being friends with your ex.
Oh, God, classic, that one. Smoking outdoors. Now, I know that lesbians smoke a lot, so we'll talk about that one, even when it's cold outside.
Alternative relationship styles.
Mm-hmm. DIY. Much related to going shopping together at IKEA to set up a new life. Also related to U-Hauls.
Oh, absolutely, and I'm sure you've got something you can say about that, Farine. And, of course, bitching about how hard it is to be gay.
Of course. It's very, very hard.
It's so hard.
We should also add journalizing how hard it is to be gay.
Mm-hmm. Or even scrapbooking. But first we're going to cut to some music. Here we go.
And welcome back. So we have a bit of a 90s theme going with the music. So if you're into 90s music, stick around. And even if you're not into 90s music, stick around for the content. So you've just been listening to Can't Help Falling in Love, UB40, Slightly Mushy, and Slightly Better, Cecilia Suggs. Okay, so this evening, Kat and I, besides celebrating her birthday,
yay,
of course.
Yay, happy birthday, me.
Are also talking about stuff lesbians like. We're just trying to get in on the act, really, because there's been all sorts of spawning of things white people like, first of all, and being someone that's not white, I was incredibly disturbed to find that I liked a lot of those things that white people like, so I obviously have to reassess my race a little bit.
But I think you should also be a little disturbed that you like many of the things that lesbians like, though we mock them a lot.
So we've put together a list of over top 20 things that lesbians like, and feel free to mock along with us. Okay, so in no particular order, let us just start with IKEA. Now, I have to say I like IKEA, actually. This is something that I uncomfortably do like. I like the idea of going to IKEA more than I actually like being at IKEA and going through that maze of all those different rooms that you have to go to actually get that one thing that you want. And studies have also shown that people leave IKEA with 200% more
than they intended to
leave with. So really good marketing strategies by IKEA, obviously working on the lesbians.
Well, I'm also thinking that it appeals to the lesbian psyche. It's pretty, but it's practical. It's got form, but it's functional. And it just makes sense. Like,
and there's also
everything in one place. Why go anywhere else?
And there's also something, slightly butch about, using that, what is it called, an Allen key?
It's an Allen key.
That's right. I've had many a bruised finger from many a time of using
of poking me till I will get the Allen keys and put things together for you. Is that where your finger was bruised from?
No. I mean, I'm an expert at the Allen key, as I'm sure most lesbians out there are. I think what's, particularly great is that, putting together your own innovative way of furnishing your house so that you pretend it doesn't look like it's all from IKEA, but it actually is. Related to that, I think, is DIY. Also on our top, 25.
And I have to say, I'm a big fan. Always have been.
And I've got to say, I'm pretty useless at this stuff. So why is it that you like DIY?
I mean, I always have, partly because I figured I could do anything better than my brothers anyway. And, you know, it gives me a, you know, feeling of, like, power and practicality.
And owning power tools?
I love my power tools.
Using power tools.
Yeah, especially while wearing a dress. I think that's sometimes important. I know, I just like doing stuff for myself. I, you know, I don't need a man to do it for me.
Yeah, I've got to say, not on my list, but, you know, IKEA certainly is. So there we have it.
Well, let's move on to something that you might identify with, that I suspect many, many, many lesbians do, and that's being friends with your ex.
Now, I have to say, I'm quite guilty when it comes to this one. I pride myself on being friends with my exes.
I don't think you should be guilty about it per se.
Well, I'd just say that I'm a practicing, you know, I'm of the philosophy that one should be friends with their exes.
Right.
Now, some people deem this to be a very mature, responsible thing. Others just, you know, so it's a very lesbian thing.
I think it's a really lesbian thing. Look, I didn't come out till I was really late, And, I remember coming across this phenomenon and just going, what? Like, my ex-husband hasn't spoken to me for 11 years. Like, that's normal. What do you mean you have to be friends with someone that you had a painful breakup with? But, you know, everyone is.
Now, see, I'm of the belief that with every relationship you have, you know, you have something significant that happens in that relationship. You share something important. You share part of your soul. I don't know. But those things, while they might diminish or things might change, it doesn't mean that you actually lost the reasons why you were in a relationship with that person in the first place. It also doesn't sort of change some of the first things that you had in common with that person, assuming that you had more in common with that person besides sexual chemistry.
Well, no, I agree. It's just that, you know, you never get to have that. Because I think because it's such a small pool of people, I feel like you never get to have the space that you need in order to heal from a relationship, unless you actually stay home under your doona, which I'm a fairly big fan of.
So here, this is what I think the catch-22 about being friends with your exes is that all lesbians know each other. So because all lesbians know each other, you're kind of friends with people that you were an ex with or that was an ex of your ex. So it's just natural. You can't avoid that one,
so
unfortunately.
It's like it facilitates social harmony. Is this what you're saying?
All right, next one.
Yeah, okay.
Great. Patios.
What? Patio?
Now, I have to say, I kind of agree with that one. I always look for restaurants and I always look for, you know, bars that have places where you can go outside and hang out in the open air. Now, that's because some lesbians...
No, wait, let me interrupt, because I reckon that is specifically related to the fact that there is a high level of smoking in the lesbian community and that women want somewhere that they can go outside and smoke.
Okay, well...
Undercover.
I might be guilty of that one.
Okay.
I might know some people that are guilty of that one.
So it's not just like for aesthetic reasons, is it?
Oh, I would like to hope that some people like to, you know, do their socializing au naturel out in the open air, outside of a...
Or maybe inside, not smoking.
Outside of a slightly smelly, dank bar. I don't know why lesbians like this one, but maybe it's related to some of the other things they like being outdoors. isn't officially on the list, but I've just added that one. Patios, folks. That's where it's at.
I think we're going to cut to a song and then come back and talk about how much we like gay porn and processing.
Thanks, folks. And that was just Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison. Okay, so this evening, Kat and I are discussing things lesbians like.
I think we called it stuff lesbians like.
Oh, stuff lesbians like.
But you know, it's the same thing.
My bad. All right, so number four on the list. Showing underpants. Now, I have to say that as someone who looks more femme than butch, this is not something that I do generally.
But it is something that we see a lot.
It is something that we see a lot. I see a lot of Bond's underwear.
Is that a 14-year-old boy or is that a lesbian?
I don't know, but if I'm attracted to the butt crack, is that a problem?
It depends. And that's a topic for another show, really, isn't it?
Yep.
Let's move straight along.
Moving right along to gay porn.
We can always edit this bit
now,
out.
Are we talking about...
Look, when a lot of lesbians are asked about what kind of pornography they watch, if at all, a lot of them state, and then are also very surprised that the other ones state, that actually what they prefer is gay male porn.
And there's reasons for this, I believe.
Well, there's lots of reasons for this, and there's even studies about it, and lots of qualitative data, partly because they're, until recently, with the likes of people like, you know, Anna Brownfield and Shane Louise Houston, that we've had both mm-hmm. of them we've had on the show, there wasn't a hell of a lot of actual lesbian porn out there. And so your choice was to watch either heterosexual porn, which you may or may not find interesting. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Or lesbian porn in inverted commas, which is still, you know, blonde women with big fake boobs and long fingernails pretending that they know what to do to each other.
And if that's your thing, then that's fine.
And that's fine, but many of us don't find it that sexy. And I think, well, at least qualitatively, research shows that lesbians prefer to watch same-sex porn when it feels like it's, you know, raw and genuine. So that's why, hence, I think the gay male porn comes in.
Hence the gay porn. All right, next on our list, processing. Now, I know that you like this one. Not something I'm particularly into, but tell me why you like this one.
It's only a term that I came across recently. You know, it seems to be the catch-all, I don't know, breakup and I just really insulted you or I've just been ignoring you forever. Phrase of particularly women. I never experienced it in a hetero world, where it's all about, you know, I'm just processing my feelings and you know, and my experiences and you know how I feel about relationships and myself and my own need for self respect. I actually sound like I'm quoting myself right now, which is making me want to be sick. But
I know this is scarily lifelike, folks. It really is.
but it seems to be a term that I've never heard anyone in any other sexual orientation bracket use as much as lesbians do.
Processing. All right. Next up, texting our feelings. Now, I know that I indulge in this one a fair bit, and I like to think it's because I'm not as emotionally evolved as other people, but apparently this is something that happens quite a lot in the lesbian world.
Yes, and texting, I hate it. I hate it. Feelings. You can actually have almost entire emotional communication in your relationship just via text message.
I feel like I've had relationships that are just text-based.
I feel like you've had relationships that were just text-based too, Farron.
Well, I don't know what that says about me or about lesbian relationships.
And maybe it's just a modern technology thing, but it's so frustrating.
Well, I feel like whether it's modern technology or not, I've definitely embraced it as a form of genuine communication.
And, you know, and we're women, like, we've got a lot to say about what we feel. And thank God that text messages aren't character limited anymore and they just go on and on and on. Because I have received some extremely long missives from people to explain how they feel about various things. And I'm also guilty of sending them. And, you know, usually more than one because you feel like, you know, you have your say and then it makes you think of something else that you want to say. And it's still completely baffles me why we don't just get on the phone and call each other or actually, you know, meeting up in person, which seems to be quite a lot more mature and real than texting.
Well, I have to say one of the reasons why I like texting our feelings is because I might have that feeling at, let's say, 10:37 in the morning. Now, ordinarily, I should be working and I can't necessarily call up someone or I can't say, you know, meet me here and we'll talk about our feelings. But I can certainly text it to them at 10:37 when I'm feeling that way in the morning without it affecting my work life whatsoever.
I know, but sometimes I feel like we'd be better off to wait to communicate when it is actually, you know, convenient. Instead of, like, you know, I don't know about other lesbians out there, but I have some pretty wild hormonal swings. And sometimes me texting off what I feel in that moment is probably not the most sensible thing.
I always want to rephrase that to be urgent texting or feeling. It's like,
but it is,
you can't wait.
I have actually seen you, you know, with a piece of pizza in one hand and your phone in the other, like almost like obsessively texting how you feel about something.
Now, this is not necessarily something that our listeners might want to be privy to, but thank you.
I mean, it's that same kind of thing that, you know, like I tell my clients about, you know, by all means, write it all down in an email, but, you know, send it to me instead. Or actually, you know, write it all down, print it out, burn it, but don't send it. And the thing about text messaging is, you know, it's so immediate. So exactly, yeah, you can send it at 10:37 in the morning when you should actually be working. But if you'd actually had to wait to 1 o'clock, you might have said something a hell of a lot more sensible. And I'm only saying that not because I'm amazing at this, but because I've been humiliated so many times. And I really feel sometimes like my estrogen gets the better of me. And I make a fool out of myself when, you know, it would have been better off to wait until we could, you know, talk in person. And
wise words.
Yeah, that's something for all of you out there that are very quick with your thumbs.
All right. Next one on the list is our chart. Now, this is something that actually came off the L word. Now, for those who, by the way, L word is also on our list. But
remember, Alice does that chart. Like, she draws it up on the board and she talks about it on her radio show and all that sort of stuff. And I remember that we, you know, sometimes we find it really amusing to sit down and work out, you know, who slept with who, slept with who, slept with who, and how it's all connected. Or, and we tried to do it once at our house, it must have been about 3 years ago.
And then burnt the piece of paper afterwards.
Well, we actually had to stop. Because I remember your sister was going, "Ugh, I can't believe he did that," and then, you know, and no one wanted to be honest about certain connections, and it kind of made us feel like we were a little all too
interconnected. So that's our chart now. Whether you want to admit it or not, I think that one is definitely on there.
Absolutely. Look, there's so many other things I want to talk about, including dogs, and I know that, you know, and joint custody of dogs. I think that's an important one, but first we're going to cut to a track. And you're listening to Dystopical on Joy 94.9. Tonight, Farin and I are talking about stuff that lesbians like. Now, and, you know, it's a little tongue-in-cheek, so don't be offended. And especially, you know, it's my birthday, so...
Really, don't be offended.
Yeah, so don't be offended and be nice. So far we've talked about IKEA, being friends with your ex, patios, showing your underpants, particularly bonds, gay porn, gay male porn specifically, processing, texting our feelings, our charts, as in the L word sense, and DIY. And Farin, what were we just listening to and what are we talking about next?
All right, so we were just listening to O Carolina, Shaggy. We're, you know, going with our 90s theme music list this week. And A Free Your Mind, En Vogue. All right, so next on the list is soy, and I'd like to make that soy / tofu.
I love tofu. Oh.
Well, you are a lesbian. Well, I'd like to say that I like soy / tofu because I'm lactose intolerant. I'd also like to say that's the only reason why I like those things, but that's probably not true. I have no idea, actually, why lesbians like soy and tofu so much.
Yeah.
But you can pretty much identify them at every cafe you go to because they're the ones asking for a soy cap.
Absolutely.
Or a soy latte.
That's making me think of tempeh now as well, which is also pretty high on the list of lesbian likes, I think.
Well, connected to the whole tofu thing, I think it's connected to the lesbian like for vegetarian food. And the only other...
And whole food.
Whole food, vegetarian food. So, you know, there you go. Lentils / tofu, a very, very vegetarian thing to like. You do the research. I'm not exactly sure, but I've got to say, anecdotally, I know that one to be true.
It is true. And let's move on to dogs, considering that you, me... and your sister, and not even just us, there are several of us, share a dog. And no, we don't live in the same house. So, Farin, tell us what you think about lesbians and their pets.
I've got to say that this is, for me, a bit of a child replacement thing.
I don't think... Okay, that's true.
I think that, you know, particularly... lesbian couples like to demonstrate their love for each other and their commitment to each other by getting a shared dog. Now, unfortunately, a lot of the times this doesn't work out due to the breakup of the said relationship and then possibly joint custody of the dog.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this happened to us and we weren't, you know, couples or anything, but we had a household of people that decided that we needed to have this dog. And then, of course, after, you know, several years, we all went our separate ways, except me. I still live there. But the dog, of course, can't go separate ways. So,
and I've got to say that there has to be... a hierarchy of dogs that lesbians like as well. I mean, I don't think that the little fluffy guys cut it for lesbians. I think the bigger butcher the dog, the more of a lesbian you are.
No, I actually disagree. to be honest.
Really?
Yep. The more lesbians that I know that have dogs, they tend to be on the smaller, cuter side.
Okay, so there's definitely some diverging viewpoints on this one. You know, text us in, Facebook us in, let us know what kind of dog you have and how much of a lesbian that makes you.
And how many other lesbians are you sharing this dog with?
All right. Okay, next up on the list, a drama.
Sorry, what did you say?
Drama.
Oh, drama. Sorry. Drama. I thought you were talking about drummers.
Drama. Okay, guilty. Guilty, yeah. I think.
Well, it's not that I... it's not that I like it. It's
confession
just,
time.
It's just so familiar. I guess you get used to it.
I think it.
I do get bored.
Look, this might be sexist of me to say, but I think that when you put lots of women together, they like to create a bit of, you know, fun and a bit of excitement, and sometimes it takes a little imagination to do so.
Also, I think we're talking about, and again, being stereotypical, but, you know, there is always, you know, some foundation in these things. You know, we're talking about a lot of people that perhaps are, you know, quite emotional and on different emotional and physical, biological cycles, and sometimes it's the highly strung part of one cycle. And if you get a few of those people together, some pretty amazingly full-on things can occur, and I might or might not be one of those people, but it has been known to happen.
Quite related to that one, I think, is the antidote to bitching about how hard, bitching about the drama, is the quitting the scene. I think this is the next step.
Oh, I love that. And we've both done this as well, and now have to laugh at ourselves about it. But it's actually just something people do. It's when you I'm just over it.
So this is when, you know, the drama, stuff lesbians like, gets too much. You then move on to quitting the scene. So it's, you know, it's a bit of a, you know, stepped program. And quitting the scene is the next step in, you know, having too much drama in your life. Quitting the scene involves pretty
staying home with your shared dog.
Drinking herbal tea with
and
your friends.
Your tofu. Yeah.
You know, taking up board games or perhaps knitting.
Knitting circles. I didn't even start that.
As a more, you know, sort of holistic exercise where one embraces their friends and tries to divest themselves of the drama of the scene. But then, of course, it's a vicious cycle because, you know, quitting the scene leads to quite a lot of sitting at home, knitting, drinking tea, which can get boring. And then, of course, you have to have more drama. So you see where I'm going with this one.
I do. And, you know, you probably missed the patios as well.
Yes, yeah. Of course. Okay.
Look, I'm going to cut to some music now, but I think that before we finish, it's very important to talk about aviator shades and hoodies.
Okay. So these are definitely things that I've been known during my butcher phases to like. There's just something so cool about, you know, walking into a club, even if it's at night, wearing aviator reflector shades.
It's just
no
so
one
sad.
Can see your eyes. And
but
you,
the thing is,
and you are pretty much the only person who knows how cool you are, you know, and the icing on the cake is walking in and then 2 minutes later, your entourage walking in. See, that is the coolest thing.
Oh, the entourage.
Yeah.
I haven't seen an entourage in a while, but that's because, you know, I quit the scene.
Right.
So
you walk in, you know, you've got your aviators on, you pull your hoodie over your head, and then you go outside to the patio, followed by your entourage.
Followed by 15 people with the same hairstyle as you.
This is Stuff Lesbians Like. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to Dystopical on Joy 94.9. On my birthday.
And playing some of those classics of the 90s for you this evening. That was Maxi Priesty with Close.
Did you just say Maxi Priesty?
Maxi Priesty. In my head, it's Maxi Priesty. And it's actually Maxi Priest with Close to You.
Thank you, Farron.
You're welcome.
So we are talking about stuff that lesbians like tonight. What's up next, Vreen?
Okay, so we've gone through this incredibly, you know, interesting list. I'm just going to run through it again really, really quickly, and then we're just going to wrap with the ones that say the best for last. Okay, so IKEA, being friends with your ex, patio, showing underpants, gay porn, prosexing, texting our feelings, you know, our chart, the one where everyone slept with everyone, doing it yourself, soy/tofu, herbal tea, dogs, particularly ones that you share with your ex now you have custody of, drama, and then leaving the drama behind with quitting the scene.
I think we mentioned aviator shades Jeeps and hoodies.
And of course, we've mentioned hoodies and types of cars, Jeeps, motorcycles also.
Oh, that's a big one.
Should definitely get a mention in there.
Yeah, and if lesbians don't like having them themselves and they love lesbians that have them.
Okay, now I think I'm definitely talking about a certain class of lesbians here, but women's studies is definitely on there. I have to say, I've got a master's in women's health, and there's a few people that I know that are quite interested in the topic of gender, feminism, all things to do with the study of women, historical, sociological, anthropological.
Yeah. Simone de Beauvoir is always up there with the second sex.
There you go. So, and if having not done a women's studies degree, then at least knowing important tomes that are related to women.
Absolutely.
Judith Butler being one of them, I
think. I was going to say that too.
Gayatri Spivak, the list goes on. Okay.
Yeah, being a little bit scared of Sheila Jeffries.
If you're the right kind of lesbian, I think. All right. Now, this is one I've recently come across, and it's a way of coming back to you, finding the strength inside you as a woman. And for me, these are the goddess cards. So
I don't actually know what that is.
No, you don't know. You're not a proper lesbian. Okay. So goddess cards are kind of like a pack of cards. Some people have angel cards that have different kinds of angels on there, but these are different kinds of goddesses across different kinds of cultures. They can tell you what kind of goddess you're feeling like today, what kind of goddess, embodies you. They can tell you what kind of goddess should be guiding you in the future, blah, blah, blah. Goddess cards. I'm definitely a fan.
Do you do readings with them?
You can do readings with them, much like tarot cards.
Okay.
Yeah, but these are all about, women and the power of women, the energy of women.
I'm going to have to check them out.
Excellent stuff. And then finally, we have to end on angsty lesbian music.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I would never do that.
Okay. So I think this might be a touchy subject for many of our listeners out there, but I've got to say, Katie Lang isn't exactly an angsty lesbian, but she does rate on there, doesn't she?
She does. And we went to the KD concert a few years ago and I cried.
I mean, Joni Mitchell definitely has to be on there, Dusty Springfield. So, there's a bunch of classic sort of lesbian artists. Stuff lesbians like. All right.
We're actually running out of time. And next week we're going to be talking a little more seriously about relationships and the types and styles of relationships that queer women tend to be in. And also the different kinds of romantic attachment styles, as in the ways in which we become attached to other people and what that means and where it comes from.
All right. Looking forward to sharing those insights with you.
And wish me a happy birthday, and we'll talk to you next week. Good night.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.